Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and the show is Earnestly Speaking. We're on Long Island News Radio at 103.9 FM, and we're talking to Sal Van Nostrum. He's the owner and operator of Energy by Choice, and they're located in Northport, Long Island, and he's a solar contractor, actually. Is that the way you would describe it?
Yeah, solar contractor's good.
Yeah. And we were talking about, how the different methods of owning and getting the power from the sun. Do you do anything that's completely off-grid?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
I haven't. And, you know, you do completely off-grid when it's too expensive to be connected to the grid.
Yeah.
The beauty of net metered solar, which is how we live in the solar space today, is we use the utility as a storage facility.
Yeah.
So when we overproduce, we send it out to them. They loan it to the neighbors, and we get to bring it back without having to spend all that money on batteries and all that goes with it.
Now, I had a farm up in Vermont, and the back end of it was a mountain. And if I didn't, I only needed electric in the front. If I needed electric in the back, it would have cost me $35,000.
Right. That's where you would do off-grid. You would build something back there to satisfy your requirement back there.
Yeah. So, you know, of course, everything back there was either portable power or, piston engine power. You
right.
Know.
And there's places up in the Catskills and the Adirondacks that are so far from the power supply to run a power line back from the highway. Could cost tens of thousands of dollars. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And then it's the investment is in batteries.
And we're not 100% there yet in batteries, although my prediction is in the next 5 years, we're going to be very much there.
You know, one of the things that is happening over at Brookhaven National Laboratories with the light source is that they can examine molecules on an atomic level, which means that they can manipulate them too. And which means that if you can figure out a way that the molecules are arranged so that they're much more productive, we get a lot more out of our solar power.
Right.
Are you familiar with the program?
No.
Anyway, they're predicting that, more than 50% or 60% of the surface will be producing. In other words, what are you getting, 22 at best?
The best market rate commercial panel is 21.5% efficient.
Oh, I almost had it right.
Yeah, very nice.
I'm very smart.
The average are in the 16% and modest.
And modest. So if we could do that, that would mean, let's say you could go to 60%, you would triple the output of a panel that probably wouldn't cost you any more than the one that you're producing now. So now you've taken it to a point where it's one-third of the cost. And it's already almost competitive.
Let's take that to the next level, which I think is where this all goes for us eventually. It's one thing to produce your current power needs with your solar panels. And many of our customers can do that today. They don't really have an electric bill of significance.
Right.
But they're still heating with oil. They're still burning natural gas, whatever it is they do to heat. How cool will it be when the same roof can host not only your need for light and refrigeration, but also allow you to go to what 3/4 of the country still does, which is electric heat.
Yeah, but they use resistance
heat, which the only reason we don't is because electricity is so expensive.
Resistive heat is really, really a big consumer. Huge.
It is, but it has minimal impact to the environment as opposed to generating the same amount of heat with oil and gas.
Sal, I'm going to challenge you on this because if you have 100% output out of your panels, all the 100% of the energy going in is
coming out.
I don't think you have a roof big enough to heat that way.
Did you do the
arithmetic?
I've seen. Don't forget, possibly on Long Island we're different because we have big houses with open landscape architecture internal to the house. It's very hard for us as a group across the board to use electric heat logically.
Yeah.
But when you go into most of the other parts of the country, they don't heat the whole house all the time to 72 degrees. They heat the part they're living in at the time to 72, and the rest they let it lower.
I do that now.
See? You're still ahead of yourself.
In 1980, when I built a house, I had independent – I used a Buderus system, by the way, if you know the system.
I know the system.
And you could regulate every room in the house. And by the virtue of that, I don't have a monster of a house, but it's 2,200 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And when my wife died and my two kids moved out, I was by myself. What did I need?
You were living one room at a time.
And what I would have is I'd have my bedroom heated for the evening, and then I'd go down the stairs, and that half of the house was separated from the other half of the house, and then I'd have my living room and my kitchen heated. And that's all I needed.
And your oil bill went down.
And then I turn off what I was in the bedrooms when I left. And or I'd set it to be automatic to go off. I was using so little fuel that nobody wanted to do business with me.
So you could have done that with electric if you had a sunnier roof and 100% or 70% efficient panels.
So I just made an argument with you, and I solved
it. And I won.
And you won thanks to me.
Thank you very much. You did a good job arguing my point. But that is the mistake we make is we keep thinking about the new technology in
trying to do the old things.
The things are going to change too. Electric cars are going to come. We're going to need more electricity.
How about this for an idea? This will knock you out. Brookhaven National Laboratories, I was doing some work with a scientist over there back in 92. And they came up with the concept of a 48-volt DC home. In other words, bring in AC, convert it to DC, and use a very, very efficient converter. You know, most converters we have in the computers that we use to go to DC are pretty crude.
Right.
They lose 25% of the power they come in. You could probably do that at maybe 10 or 15% and do the whole house. Now you have a 48-volt house. No electrical shock problems. You don't have to worry about kids putting things in the... they'll get buzz, but they're not going to get killed. Then you can take... You can introduce batteries if you need to have a small backup.
Right.
Just for running...
Criticals.
And then you can take solar... And entered into the, and they did it by using this one unit that would take grid power, convert it. They would take battery power and have it on standby. They'd have solar power that would operate when it was solar. So it was always operating as enough to run everything. And it was so interesting because what would happen is the sun would go down. And you'd be producing only about 35% at near dusk.
Right.
And then you'd be taking 75% or 65%, whatever it was, the balance. If I knew arithmetic, I'd be in a big trouble here. Anyway, whatever that would be coming from the battery source. And or from the electrical source, I mean, from the grid source.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they had a power failure, you would have...
Battery. I just finished my second battery job in 8 years. Just finished it. It's a 48 volt. It's funny you said 48 volts. It's a 48 volt battery system tied into a photovoltaic system.
I thought you said you didn't do any.
We don't do off grid. We're still on grid.
Oh, okay.
You asked off grid. They're on grid. This particular customer had a need that they don't have the capacity to be at home to run a generator at all times in the event of an emergency.
Yeah.
And they have some very... very expensive medication in their refrigerator. Right. They're afraid of losing it, and it was well worth it to them. 48 volts worth of battery, connected to a PV system, and connected to the grid. And guess what we run? We run their Buderus boiler, just to bring it all full circle, and one refrigerator. And they have enough battery that even if the sun didn't come out for 2 days, they could still run a refrigerator and the boiler. But batteries aren't quite there yet, because that's all we got out of all those batteries. But I believe that in the next 4, 5, 6 years, you're going to see a major shift in battery technology, availability, just the way solar costs came down, costs will come down.
This conversation has gone so quick, and we only have a minute and a half left for this show. But we're at a cusp, I believe, where some of the ideas that we talked about and some of the ideas that I talked about from the lab are going to really come to fruition.
Real soon.
And it's going to happen quick. And you know what? I expressed this fear when I talked to you originally was that there are going to be people who are going to be left out of the picture because they don't want to cut down their 80-foot oaks. Now, what do we do with those people? Or will there be another technology that will use microturbines from the fat that we throw away, and we'll still be in a pretty good shape?
There'll be changes, but there was a technology a year and a half ago that did get some people to take down their trees, and that was the storm. A lot of people are all of a sudden okay taking their trees down because they watch trees hit their neighbors' houses. And a lot of resistance that we used to see, we don't see so much anymore.
Yeah. Well, I spend money trimming out my trees because I don't want that sail up there all the time. So I don't take the trees down.
Right.
I just make the sail a little smaller. And it seems to grow so damn fast.
And we don't advocate taking a whole forest down, put solar up.
No.
But if you've got one tree keeping you from going solar, I can make a very good case of why you should do that.
Yeah. This has been a very interesting conversation. I'm so glad I brought you in.
Yeah, thank you.
And I really like your industry. This is Ernie Fazio. I've been talking to Mr. Van Nostrand, who is a solar contractor, and he's looking at the future with a lot of enthusiasm because this is going to happen. Thank you so much for listening. This is Ernie Fazio. This is Long Island News Radio. The show is Earnestly Speaking. Please tune in again.